Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm not overselling this.
Okay.
I am not overselling this.
Okay.
Loophole Christmas Melvin.
Christmas Melvin.
Is in the delivery room.
No.
Listening to us right now as his wife gives birth.
Okay.
Shout out to Christmas Melvin.
Shout out to Christmas Melvin.
Talk about great timing. We just gave him parenting advice in the last segment.
I want to ask you this. Do you think Christmas Melvin, and we've met him many times, he is a loophole. I mean, good Lord, he might be. He's moving up the depth chart when he's listening to us in the delivery room. Damn. Do you think he's going to look downstairs when the baby comes out or not?
Oh, you better. I did on every one. Although they were C-sections, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Watching your wife get all sliced up.
Yeah. It was nasty.
It was fun.
Ugh. Yeah. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Good Lord. Let's go around the NFL quickly. Gary Kubiak, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. When you heard that former Texans head coach Gary Kubiak was coaching, your reaction was?
What would you do to get him back today? It was always kind of a mystery. Does he want to coach? Does he want to put all that much more time into it again? Well, he's answered the question. Gary Kubiak was an advisor for the Vikings and had a big impact and was at practices and such, no doubt about it. Help game plan, et cetera. But now he's been named offensive coordinator, dude. I mean, he's back in the game. So his health is probably better, which is always good. And so you know the next stop is going to be a head coach somewhere.
You think?
If he wants it. He just might not like being out front that much as a head coach. He's won a Super Bowl. He's done it all. Nothing else to prove. He might just like being in the lab, as you like to say. You know, just kind of being behind the scenes.
Man, I just don't know if Kubes wants to come back and be a head coach.
If he wants to, he will, put it that way. I mean, look who's in the Super Bowl right now. One of his, you know, people that he's worked with. Protégés, if you will.
I think he's done.
He's not done.
Well, I mean, he's done as a head coach.
Yeah, he could be, but it's up to him. If he wants it, he'll get it. Excuse me.
Damn, you all right there?
Kind of.
Feel like
inhaled
you just
a little too hard
or something.
I inhaled.
You inhaled.
Yeah.
You're the opposite of Bill Clinton. He did not inhale.
No, I did inhale.
Are you supposed to inhale cigars?
No,
I'm
you
not
puff.
A cigar smoker.
You puff.
What do you mean? You just blow out?
Kind of put it in your mouth and blow it out. Just get the flavor, the taste.
You guys are obsessed with cigars around
here.
I
love me some cigars.
Let's hear the best sound of the year in the NFL. In my opinion, these are the best quotes from the NFL season. The top five. If you will, let's start with Jerry Jones in the offseason. Zeke Elliott held out. Jerry Jones, amidst the drama, decided he was going to have a little bit of fun, and he said this.
Is Pollard your best negotiator with Zeke?
Who?
Pollard.
Now, Zeke who?
<Don't talk. laughs> He's got your camera.
God, that was bad when it happened.
It was bad when it happened. I thought it was funny. But then, when Zeke Elliott agreed to that contract, you remember Jerry Jones.
You know what Jerry's going to do. He's going to make a dollar.
He made a T-shirt and sold it at the Cowboys team shop. He knew exactly what he was doing. Held it up at the press conference as well. Lamar Jackson, the MVP of the NFL, most likely. Mark Ingram, after Lamar Jackson continued to take the league by storm in the regular season, introducing the MVP to the media types.
I would just like to introduce y'all to the man, the myth, the legend, the MVP front runner. If anybody else got to say something different about that, then come see me.
Yep.
I'm right here in B-More outside the bank. If you got an issue with that, come see me.
Whoopty.
I'm about that.
Whoopty.
Big trust.
Whoopty.
Woo woo. Lamar Jackson in the flesh.
Big
yes, sir.
Big
trust.
No era. I'm with you.
New Era 8 apparel.
That was awesome. And we heard a variation of that again.
You know, the Titans kind of mocked it a little bit. It kind of came back to backfire, but it was still good times. Jameis Winston. Would you say Jameis Winston?
He's known for a good quote or two.
Is he?
Like that.
Do you think Jameis is an insightful guy?
No.
You didn't even hesitate.
Insight, that's not the first thing that comes to mind.
Here is Jameis Winston. We talked about this yesterday. Stanford Route actually brought it up on Wednesday. So it wasn't yesterday, it was Wednesday. The glass half full, the glass half empty. Jameis Winston talking about Tampa Bay struggles, and he takes the popular mindset, half full, half empty, to another level, I guess you could say.
Okay.
We had two games that just slipped away from us. So we just got to get back to the drawing boards and come back and ready to fight. The glass is always full, because just because it's maybe full, half full of water, it's still full of air. So we got to keep that glass full. We got to keep a chip on our shoulder, and we got to find a way to get a win.
Okay, so the glass might be half full. It might be half empty of water, but it's always full because it's full of air.
As I said, I really don't go to Jameis Winston for insight.
Is someone else having a baby?
This is legit now. Brian McTaggart, MLB.com. Sources. Former Tigers and Angels manager Brad Ausmus has arrived into Houston and will be interviewing for the next managerial position.
No, thank you.
Why not?
No, thank you.
Why not? Gotta give me more than that.
He accused Mariznick of being dirty. No, thank you.
Well, what did Mariznick do after he left Houston? Not much, right? Oh, no, I'm thinking of, what's his name?
Yeah, what are
wrong,
you talking
wrong
about?
Wrong player.
Dump that.
There were two white guys. Is that a race card?
Nah.
No?
It's just a brain fart.
I like Brad Ausmus. I think I think he'll be good.
No,
he's got that continuity.
No, thanks.
He was in with the Killer Bees.
No, thanks.
Why?
Peace.
Just because he called somebody a cheater?
Banny or bust. Banny or bust. No, thank you.
He's got a lot of the same attributes as Bannister.
No, thank you. Did he survive cancer? Must
no,
have missed that.
I said a lot.
Is he from Houston?
I said a lot. Well, he's kind of from Houston. I mean, he
has he won manager of the year before? He may have. I don't know.
He did.
I don't know.
I don't know. But he's got the managerial experience, player, former player, certainly knows the clubhouse.
No, thanks.
You're just all about Bannister.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
He got his heart set.
Yeah, he's just got his heart set.
Yeah, I'm out on Brad Ausmus. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Slime ball.
How is he a slime ball? What's wrong with you?
Talking about the Mariznick stuff, dude. Still a little bitter about that. As we continue, the best quotes from the NFL in 2014.
Talk about slime ball.
Here is Bill O'Brien talking about the Texans offense. They scored 3 points at the half. This was the same game where he told a fan they suck too. Texans had like some drives, I guess, after they were down 35-3. The offense was terrible. They didn't score in the first 35 minutes. Let's be honest. Like, anyone with eyes can see that. But according to Bill O'Brien, you got to watch the tape and realize that it wasn't all horse droppings.
We ran the ball for over 100 yards. I mean, it was a horrible game, but like, the offensive line, you know, again, we had some issues with penalties, like has been pointed out 50 times between the last two press conferences, rightfully so.
There are also some situations where we saw Bradley, Roby, and Jonathan Joseph on the sidelines.
I mean, there were some things on offense that were pretty good. I'm not sure if you guys watched the film, but look, I know it was a terrible game, but just throw that out there. It wasn't horse shit on offense.
What?
Okay.
It wasn't horse what?
Horse bleep. Horse droppings.
It kind of was, Brian, though, right? You had 3 points?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Apparently not. You got to watch the tape. Got to watch the tape. 35-3. Watch the tape.
They should. Any coach who says that should distribute an all-22 video to everybody in the media.
Well, I think sometimes these coaches who say that, and I think even like some people like that say watch the tape, they assume that just because you watch the tape means that you know what the hell you're doing.
That too.
Like, there are a lot of people there are a lot of dumbasses that read a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can read a book on a topic and you can still be dumb. And I'm not, like, if just because you watch the tape.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't
what
mean.
What am I looking at?
Yeah, like, if people don't feel like you know what you're doing when you watch the tape and when you prepare, it doesn't matter if you watch the tape. Like, it'd be awesome. Like, if you just turn on the tape and all of a sudden, oh, I'm smarter than everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not really how it works. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree.
Does he need Mark Berman to go watch the tape?
Mark Berman, I mean, what would he break down? What would he be looking for?
35 minutes in. It was 35-3. You didn't move the ball till late. That was, I hate the, like, the, I don't know if y'all watched the tape. Well, you know they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like,
you know
they didn't.
Football.
You know they didn't watch the tape.
It's the coaching equivalent of mansplaining when they say that. Listen, honey.
I'm not sure if you watched the tape.
Yeah, let me tell you about lug wrenches. You know, it's just, It's the coaching equivalent of mansplaining. Oh, did y'all don't watch the tape. You weren't in the game. Okay.
Final best quote of 2019, also courtesy of Bill O'Brien. This was his final press conference of the season, at least his final press post-game press conference after the season. Texans, they decided not to go for it on fourth and one. The reason wasn't because the Texans were going to take the points. Mm-hmm. Apparently, B.O.B. didn't have a play.
Yeah, I felt like I had a first down there, and when I didn't, I just felt like we didn't have a great play there for the fourth down at that point in time.
You didn't have a play.
That's what he said.
Could you snap the ball to Deshaun Watson? Then you had a play.
That's what he said. 713-572-4610 to get in. There is some good news, though, for Bill O'Brien, the king out there at NRG. He might not have a first-round pick, but he has an opportunity to get some impact players in the draft. If you don't believe me, look at the guys that will be playing in the Super Bowl. We'll go back in time and remember when the Chiefs and 49ers added core pieces without first-round picks. Texans don't have a first-round pick this year or next, but that doesn't mean they can't add impact players that could lead to a Super Bowl. Or Super Bowl impact players. Just look no further than the Super Bowl matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. I want to go back in time to when these two teams drafted key contributors to their conference championship teams. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you if it's realistic or unrealistic for the Texans to acquire this type of player on their roster.
Okay.
Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the most explosive player in the NFL, one of the five best receivers in the league, in my opinion, Tyreek Hill. He had off-field problems at Oklahoma State and then at a smaller college. So let's go back in time and remember what it sounded like when Tyreek Hill was selected by the Chiefs. And I want you to tell me if this is realistic or unrealistic for the Texans to do something like this to acquire a playmaker.
With the 165th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Tyreek Hill, wide receiver, West Alabama.
All right, how about that? Go to West Alabama to add to their wide receiver core.
He was at Oklahoma State. He ended up transferring to West Alabama, which is starting to crank out some players. Some players who have some issues running up there. Yeah, he's had some issues. There was a domestic violence issue that, frankly, I thought might keep him from being drafted. This guy has blazing speed. He's a world-class 220, I think a 200-meter guy.
Got it.
Who has speed all day. He can play some for you in the slot. I wasn't very impressed with his tape at wide receiver, frankly.
Unrealistic. And only because while the Texans have acquired players with a little bit of baggage, Kenny Stills didn't stand for the anthem. Laramie Tunsil had a very famous.
I wouldn't say that's punching your pregnant girlfriend in the stomach.
That's what I'm saying.
Like that. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. While they've kind of moved toward, okay, we understand that certain players are going to have some issues and it's going to be a public relations, hurdle. This is an absolute no. It's an absolute no. Players like Tyreek Hill.
Quite honestly, I don't know that the current Chiefs regime drafts Tyreek Hill either, because we got to remember.
That was Pioli? Who was that?
This was John Dorsey.
Dorsey
would sign O.J. Simpson if he could. I mean, if Aaron Hernandez were still alive, he might be playing tight end for John Dorsey. Like, let's be honest. So I think that could be a – that could be a luck thing right there. Yeah. That one is a no. What about Travis Kelce? He was selected in the third round by the Kansas City Chiefs. Texans have drafted two tight ends in the third round as well. This is Travis Kelce on the Dan Patrick Show reading the negative things that scouts were saying about him leading up to the draft.
Weakness. Only one season of production in college. Doesn't have blazing speed, not a tremendously explosive athlete, doesn't come out of his breaks that well. Kels plays with the pedal to the metal, which isn't always a good thing. he doesn't run a wide variety of routes, doesn't display sudden or sharp breaks in routes. Character is a big question. He doesn't really produce until 2012, so may label him a potential one-year wonder. Ooh.
He sounds a little different in that from some of the things you may have heard from.
Yeah, that does sound a little bit different.
That's but him.
Third round, man. I mean, that's impressive, you know? I mean, the Texans have drafted Jordan Akins and Kahale Waring, who we haven't even seen on the field in the third round, and Travis Kelce's there. And I'm not comparing the two. Travis Kelce's like an all-time. Lopez has, I have not. but I'm not questioning the Travis Kelce thing. But the Texans have selected two guys in the third round.
It comes down. Kelce is doable. It comes down to having being smarter than everybody else. You know, the scouting and certainly player development as well. Now Travis Kelce was pretty dang good as soon as he got into the NFL. But scouting number one, player development number two. The Texans right now, I mean, the tight ends they drafted, even Jordan, I mean, they've been, you know, acceptable, some of them, Jordan Akins and such, but you're not drafting any game-breaking tight ends.
Here is George Kittle, the selection of George Kittle, fifth-round tight end, by the way, for the San Francisco 49ers. Some people would say that he and Travis Kelce are 1A and 1B. This is George Kittle. When his name was called, and I got to tell you, man, I feel bad for George Kittle because a lot of times you can go back in time and you can remember the good times when your name was called. They had some jamoke comedian up there announcing the George Kittle pick.
I don't even know who it was.
And I had no idea who it was. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, after hearing this pathetic display, I sure as hell don't want to see his comedy special or anything like that. Listen to this guy. Make this more about him than the kid that was being drafted.
I see your astronaut, and I raise you a comedian standing in the 49er Museum. I'm joined today by fellow 49er faithful. We have Jason Maroff. This guy, Dennis Gorry, who has the hottest, stinkiest breath you could possibly imagine. It really is a problem, yeah. For the 146th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers pick George Kittle, tight end from Iowa.
George Kittle is, I guarantee you, what Kyle Shanahan sees here is absolutely Owen Daniels for sure. And George Kittle. George Kittle is a good tight end. He is an inline blocker, too. He will get after you in the running game. You have to if you play at Iowa. And I thought George Kittle, for me, carries a grade up there near Jake Butts as well. I think ultimately he can become an early competitor and an early player.
Is there anything worse than an unfunny comedian?
No.
I don't think there's very, very many things worse in life that aren't serious than an unfunny comedian that you are forced to pay attention to. I mean, have you ever had dinner or something with somebody that thinks they're a comedian?
Oh gosh, yes.
And they think they're holding court and they're not.
You know the guy I hate, real quick tangent here. God, why do you do this to me? There are funny people in this world, right?
Yes. Some people really hold court and you are laughing your ass off.
They're just funny people.
Yes.
I cannot tell you how much I despise tells an actual joke guy. Hey, Landry.
Have you ever heard the one about?
No, no.
Have you ever heard the one about, guy?
This is how it goes. Hey, Landry.
What's up?
All right. So this guy walks into a bar.
Now, what if the guy's over 80, though? What if he's over 80?
No.
If he's old, come on.
I don't care.
It used to be acceptable.
Tells actual joke guy is the worst.
Stories are what's funny.
You know, you got to be funny. You're either funny or you're not. You know?
Relatable a little bit.
Relatable.
Timely, it got to seem real.
Timely. Yeah. Appropriate for, you know, which ties back to this. I just don't think he read the room at all. I'm sure he's a fine comedian.
No, he's not.
But he didn't.
He came up there with a script.
He came up there with a script.
Replay the beginning of this because you know he sucks. Because
hey, Landry. All right.
Do this to me.
So a horse and a potato walk into a bar. I mean, I hate that dude so much.
Gosh. It's the worst. Listen to the beginning of this, though. Just listen to the first few seconds because you can hear the guys. The NFL Network guys know what a weasley is because they leave their mics on. They're like, oh, my God, this guy. Listen to this.
I see your astronaut, and I raise you a comedian standing in the 49er Museum. I'm joined today by fellow 49er fans.
Look, see, that's like from Major League.
Look at this effing guy. Still one of the best scenes in Major League history. I would say that is up there. Jack Parkman saying, I'm the only winner on this team, is number two. And then number three is when Wild Thing's going in to relieve the game, and he says, stick it up your A, Lardmouth. Mm-hmm. And then the guy all of a sudden jumps back on the bandwagon. Those are the three best Major League scenes of all time.
What do you get when you cross a horse?
Stop it.
Come on, man.
A lamb and...
Stop it.
I know.
It's okay for the older... I think it's okay for the older man to do it. Mm. But the awkward thing is...
I don't feel any different.
Do you feel obligated to laugh?
Oh, it's always a forced laugh too, right? You're like, ha ha, ha, ha. Good. That's funny.
But do you think you're doing a disservice to the rest of the company at the table if you provide so many fake laughs?
You're just trying.
I think
to
it's about how you laugh.
But
yeah.
then you're encouraging it, man.
Well, you're just trying to get past it.
And sometimes, man, I went and hung out with someone in this dude, this British accent. This girl thought she was so funny talking in a British accent, and she talked in the British accent for like an hour 15. And I'm just sitting there, and everybody's laughing, and I'm just like, dude, I might go get a table for one. Like, seriously, there's eight people there, and I'm just like, why are y'all encouraging this by laughing? Mm-hmm. She ordered in British and all this type of stuff, and she's not British, and she just thought it was funny, and everybody's just encouraging it.
Mm. I hate that.
It's terrible. If they're owning a room, give them their props. If they're not, you're doing a disservice.
The funniest people are not really doing jokes. They're just funny. They're just funny.
713-572-4610. We're about to put a bow on the week. We are 1 week closer to the Super Bowl. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez thinks the Astros should apologize at spring training. Jim Crane said they will. John Lopez is in favor of this. I am opposed to it. Explain yourself, OG.
Yeah, look, you know, Jim Crane came right out and said, and this was to kind of clean up a mess, too, that the Astros were going to gather together and issue an apology, probably during spring training, right, is what he said?
That's what he said.
Before they get started or whatever. And look, this isn't something that I'm saying they should do because of my moral compass, you know? It's not like, you know, I'm trying to be pious and, you know.
Who?
Pious.
Who?
or holier than thou, or it's morally right. I mean, it might be, and you might feel that way. I think the Astros need to apologize because it will help repair the damage that has been done. I thought their initial responses... and it was only days after it really came down on them, so I guess somewhat understandable. But their initial responses at Astros Fan Fest were, there was no way to perceive them nationally. And I'm not talking about the hardcore Astros fans who will, you know, say no big deal, they don't need to apologize, whatever. And I get that. You know, you're a hardcore bleed Astros, whatever their colors are called. You know, I get that. But it just in the average
be orange and blue.
No, but don't they have like a name like Deep Steel Blue stuff too? Anyway, I'm not talking about those people that are going to be, you know, supporting the Astros no matter what. I think the Astros came off looking bad. They just came off looking bad, arrogant, and unapologetic for one thing, and certainly not remorseful either. They came out by and large at that fan fest and just were saying, hey, okay, we did it, whatever. The MLB did what they were going to do, and you watch, we're going to be even better next year. It just fell flat. A lot, they were criticized, and that's what prompted Jim Crane to come right out and say, listen, we're going to apologize for this. So make no mistake about it. I'm not talking about just some moral high ground that I'm standing on. I'm saying just for the sake of them moving forward and kind of repairing the damage that's been done, they need to apologize.
I think firing A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, in my opinion, was enough of an apology. I think the actions there showed that they are sorry. And I think that, you know, while you think that them apologizing helps them move on, I actually think it adds more fuel to the fire, and I think it just makes them look even worse. I disagree here. I don't think they need to apologize. I think it's bad strategy, bad business to do it, especially when now it's obvious that Jim Crane is making them do it.
Mm-hmm. No, and now that might be true. Most people might just roll their eyes, you know, okay, well, it's like, you know, the parent saying, you know, to the 8-year-old, now you have to apologize for that.
Now say sorry, Johnny.
Now say you're sorry, Johnny. So you might be able to interpret that, but I think the sincerity of it, and if they have a united front, and if they sit there and look sincere and act sincere and are believable, then I think it'll really, really resonate a lot with people all over the country.
Wait, what? Say that again.
If they look and feel and come across sincere, I think it'll resonate more. If they're just like, yeah, Jim Crane said.
So you think that the people that are basically bashing the Astros right now, if they see Alex Bregman go up there with tears in his eyes or whatever and say that he's sorry.
They don't have to be crying.
I might be a little dramatic there. But if they do that, you're sitting there saying that you think that they're going to be like, oh, well, you know what? It's all good.
No, I think it'll start and it'll help them get there faster into some sort of you know, more acceptance and understanding, maybe not understanding, but at least being able to move on from it from a national perspective. And I'll give you the best example that came to mind, and I don't think there's a better one. If there is, let me know. But Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit versus Roger Clemens. They both did the same thing. They were both in the same Mitchell report. They both, you know, did performance-enhancing drugs. But how does the world look at Andy Pettit today compared to how the world looks at Roger Clemens? Entirely different sides of the spectrum. And the reason is Andy Pettit sat at Yankees spring training and just by himself behind a table. I think it was like an hour and 15 minutes, you know, had a statement, then took every question you had, was remorseful, believable, and people are forgiving. And Andy Pettit, people don't even remember that Andy Pettit was doing performance-enhancing drugs. But Roger Clemens still can't recover from it.
But don't you think that's one extreme or the other?
Because he was belligerent.
But yeah, don't you think that's one extreme or the other where Andy Pettit handled it probably the ideal way and Roger Clemens was kind of a jerk about it and very combative.
It is.
And very,
it is extreme. But I think it's the example
denial.
Of what can happen.
But I don't think. But I don't think the Astros, if they didn't apologize, are going to sit there and all of a sudden stick their middle finger up to everybody like Roger Clemens.
But they're being perceived like they already have. I mean, you've read the stories. You've seen how people responded to them. I mean, national outlets talking about this. Astros don't even look remorseful, blah, blah, blah. No, I think those were extremes, but I think those extremes illustrate what is possible here. Forget moral high ground. That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just getting over this and getting past it.
I think the best way is to just move on and not even address it. Just say, look, it's been addressed. The punishment's been held down. I actually think, you know, a lot of people thought that Bregman looked foolish there. I mean, what is he supposed to say? Like, is he supposed to sit there and say, well, yeah, you know, I used it probably about, you know, 7 at bats. What is he supposed to say? Because what if these guys really didn't do it as much? So everyone's supposed to. What if there's some guys who didn't use it?
Really?
I'm just saying, like, what if?
Really?
Hear me out. Like, what if?
That's a tell when you say, hear me out.
Like, what if some guys didn't do it as much as others?
Well, maybe. Did they do it? I mean, and it's almost like, you know, perception becomes reality, right? Even if there were some guys who did it more than others, the perception is, man, those Astros are cheating bastards, you know, and they're not even sorry they did it. I mean, that's not me saying. That's just what's out there.
I mean, the thing is, though, the punishment's already been held down, you know?
Yeah.
So it just seems like if the punishment has already been held out, like if I'm, like, let's say that I get in trouble for doing something against the law.
Mm-hmm.
If I already get my citation and then I get my sentence, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to say sorry? It's not like they're going to get leniency. Like, a lot of times when you apologize, it's to get leniency. You think they really just need to go out there? You think it's like a PR type thing where they need to do it? I feel like they've shown that they were sorry.
It is a PR thing.
Or the face of the organization.
I mean, no, I think you nailed it.
In Jim Crane.
It is a PR thing.
You think the Astros need better PR?
But they need to come across sincere. They need, first of all, it'd be nice if they were sincere. But even if they're not, they need to be believable and come across sincere. And there are examples out there of, look, everybody gets forgiven. OJ gets forgiven.
What?
I mean, hello, Twitter world.
I mean I don't know. I don't know if OJ's been forgiven.
In terms of, well, yeah, that I messed that up. Maybe not forgiven.
Dump that.
Maybe not forgiven, but accepted. And
well,
and
has he?
How many followers does he have? Of course, some of them are mostly mocking.
Yeah,
him.
A lot of it's entertainment.
Let me give you a better example.
Yeah, please.
Martha Stewart.
There you go. Thank right? you. I'll take that.
Right. People have people forget that she was in the
big. How do you go from OJ to Martha Stewart?
I don't know. I'm spitballing, man. I'm spitballing. But she was in the Big House, man. She was up the river for a while.
Dude, she wasn't in no big house. I bet you her jail cell was nicer than 90% of high-rise apartments in Houston.
I refer to the big house as prison. She wasn't in jail. She was in prison.
Oh, she was in like a basic.
She had to join a gang.
Houston penthouse.
What gang would Martha Stewart join?
The baddest one on the planet. You imagine how much people go to bat for Martha Stewart?
The Cooks.
Are you going to watch that Hernandez doc? I think you should watch that Hernandez
doc. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
This weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to do it this weekend.
I think you would be very intrigued by
Lord
it.
Lord knows, we got time on our hands.
No, we got time. We don't have any football.
I'm not going to watch the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, well, I might not either. I'm hitting the Royal Rumble with Figgy and to see what's popping there. Always good people watching out there when you go to a wrestling event. So we're going to go out there on Sunday. But, yeah, you definitely need to watch this this Aaron Hernandez thing. I thought Ejedebo was interesting on that yesterday. But, man, there's just so much. I want to get your genuine takeaways on that. I want you to just tell me what you think of that documentary, because I think there's a lot of interesting stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that's just a little bit strange.
Well,
a little bit fishy.
I haven't insulated myself from some of the reactions, so I've been reading about it. I just haven't watched it yet. But the one thing that I've read about it that is most interesting to me is I think they kind of highlight the wrong things.
Well, they highlight everything.
Yeah,
so they leave meat on the
bone
or
emphasize the wrong things.
Yeah, yeah. There was there didn't seem to be much stock in the allegations about his sexuality.
Right.
And that's not to say that if Aaron Hernandez truly was battling those demons, like, you know, like he was really homosexual and he was living a heterosexual lifestyle because of the fear of the backlash, that's not to say that that wouldn't drive you crazy and that wouldn't be a factor. But the reality is, just based on what I watched there, it didn't seem like there was very much proof that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of his former teammates in high school and that guy's dad telling stories.
What was the point of having them on?
I mean, if it's true, then there would be a point to it. But you're supposed to believe that Aaron Hernandez kills himself, and then all of a sudden that guy comes out to his dad, and all of a sudden his dad becomes like a voice for Aaron Hernandez. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, that, it seems like maybe they're trying to write a book or something like that, and they're clout chasing. Not to say, like, if it was true and that was something that was going on in Aaron Hernandez's mind, I know we have a lot of listeners. I can't imagine how hard that would be. So I'm not minimizing it. I'm just saying the actual proof wasn't there. Furthermore, let me say this, in regards to the homosexuality thing on the Aaron Hernandez thing. Just because someone who just got a life sentence in prison has a jailhouse lover does not mean that he's gay. Let me just say this.
I know what you're saying.
That's adjusting to your lifestyle. That's adjusting to what you're dealing with for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, you are not going to have a woman. So it goes back to the Sugarfoot with 3-6 Mafia. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to make ranch dressing, but I know how to make do. I'm sure there are a lot of guys in jail that have jailhouse lovers. That does not mean that they were gay before they got put in jail for life. So for that to be put as some sort of evidence against Aaron Hernandez, I thought was weird as well. But I strongly recommend watching the documentary. I want to get your take on it, John, because I think it's something to very much keep in mind. But James Ejedebo, if you didn't hear him yesterday, he was a teammate of Aaron Hernandez, or Chico, as he called him. He had some good insight on what Aaron Hernandez was like as a teammate. He actually disagreed with some of the stuff they said about what Hernandez was like in the locker room. So you can go to sportsradio610.com to listen to that.
So let's say you get sent to prison.
I mean, life? For life?
Man.
For life?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how I'm going to adjust, but I'm
well, you just kind of laid it out there, buddy. Well,
I'm just saying that's kind of an adjustment. That's
so
kind
would
of
you,
that's kind of just how it goes.
Would you give or take?
What would you do, John?
I would not, is what I would do. I would fight.
I would I would probably try to get some magazines. I would probably just try to get a lot of magazines. And maybe a corner for 5 minutes.
Figgy, I can't believe what I just heard, man. He's like, hey, you
I'm shot.
Yeah. That was a win in Rome. Win in Rome.
I mean, I'm just saying that's the reality of the situation. A lot of guys that go to prison for life.
Is it the reality?
The guys who go to prison for life, a lot of them, yeah. Yeah,
a lot of people wouldn't admit that, though.
Well, I mean,
that might be
there's
true.
A lot of guys who do that, okay, that didn't do that before they went to prison.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. A lot of people went through that, but mm-hmm. I never heard nobody say that.
So what about you?
No, I didn't say what I would do. I just said what they do.
Oh, I want to know what
I
you
I said
do.
What they do. Now y'all are now
you seem to be
weird.
You seem to be on that side of the, on that side of the argument.
I kind
of
feel like you guys are getting a little weird.
Well, we weren't the ones who brought it up.
Well, I'm just saying that doesn't prove anything with Aaron Hernandez. That doesn't prove anything. He's in there for life. Mm-hmm. So that's his situation. I feel like that was a messy part. That was an extremely messy part of the documentary.
Oh my god, that's the point I'm trying to make.
I think a lot of people
agree with that.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. And I'm just saying that doesn't prove to me.
It's
that,
even
that
worse
that's
because
true.
He can't even, you know, defend himself.
Well, because the way the way they presented it, and spoiler alert, I mean, it's not going to take away from your viewing, was, aha, this must be true. No, it doesn't. That doesn't prove that before he got a life sentence that he was doing those types of things.
And I also get, and I haven't seen the documentary, so correct me if I'm wrong on this, all right? Both you guys, you and Figgy. I think it's just kind of weird that they turn a guy's sexuality into a reason that he would go that far off.
Well, they're saying that he was trying to cover up something he was not, and go into extremes to prove how
maybe,
macho
again,
he was and how much of a hard ass he was.
Your emotional state makes you do once you're broken. You know, you're broken, and it makes you do some weird things. I'm just saying. I think it's kind of like I think a lot of people who are gay would say no. You know, you know that's not the case at all. I think they're kind of like
I know what you're saying. You're going to get a real slimy vibe, I'm telling you, from the high school teammate and the dad.
Yeah.
I can assure you. The dad especially. I don't know. That guy, I don't know what was up with that guy. That mm-hmm. guy was very, 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 very strange, to say the very least. But the bottom line is you need to watch it. You need to check it out. And maybe you'll have a different perspective on it. I know you watch stuff, and sometimes you have a different perspective on it. But I just thought it was strange. The CTE stuff was interesting. I mean, although
I would blame that just from afar, not having seen it yet.
I mean, his upbringing. I think you can make a case that his upbringing, and then not being held accountable. I mean, you can have a lot of takes on the Aaron Hernandez thing. But if you haven't watched it. There's no football. It's only about 3 hours and 45 minutes, so it's about the time that it takes to watch a football game.
Yeah.
So if you are a loophole and you haven't watched it, I strongly recommend watching it. Let's go to Michael. Michael, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, you guys. Thanks for taking the call. So I talked to a guy the other day on the phone. I do health insurance, and I called a guy in Florida. He used to live in Connecticut, and he told me that Netflix series was actually out of whack. And he told me what happened was when they were talking about Aaron Hernandez smoking PCP in Connecticut, they actually don't smoke PCP. They have another drug that's called dust. And the guy told me that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about a guy.
That's actually the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I appreciate the call, Michael, but. A guy told me stuff. I don't know where to run with that. With a guy who's dead and can't really speak for himself. I appreciate.
By the way, if you haven't heard James E. Hedebo, I know Figgy, you tweeted it out. I think I retweeted that one on Aaron Hernandez.
SportsRadio610.com.
Yeah, you've got to hear it. I mean, James was he knew Aaron Hernandez before Aaron Hernandez was even in the league. He knew his cousin that he went to school with at UMass. And Aaron would come and visit, and he got to know him. And then some of the insight on just some of the things he saw. I mean, shocked is an understatement, right? Of what James Hedebo thought once Aaron Hernandez's exploits came to light. So he covered it up pretty dang well, too. It was really good listening to James Hedebo's perspective.
There's just a lot of angles to it. There's a lot of angles. His fiance, this isn't in the doc, but she had a baby with someone else, I want to say, like 12 mm-hmm. months after. So.
Oh,
she,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that.
Ride or die, though. But he mm-hmm. could have got away if he would have just deleted the surveillance, man. Not left the bullets in the rental car. That
yeah,
probably
it was just sloppy.
little sloppy.
Yeah, he was just sloppy.
A little sloppy, to say the very least. There's going to be three guys, I predict, that annoy you in this documentary.
Oh, yeah?
Three guys. The father and the son.
His.
No. The father and the son that were his high school teammates. His high school teammate, gotcha. His high school quarterback,
whatever, yeah.
His high school quarterback and his dad, and the semi-pro football player with long hair.
Okay.
That guy, man. That guy. I mean, he acted like he was in the NFL.
Oh, really?
Oh, God. He was the Al Bundy of Connecticut. Seriously.
That's funny.
He was the touchdown Bundy of Connecticut, but you definitely need to check that out. Check out the Pro Bowl, too, John. Just enjoy yourself. Just watch these guys have some fun.
Not going
to
do it.
Celebrate the season, because in about 10 days, there will be no more football. We'll have to look ahead to the draft, rounds two and up. We won't get to talk about the first, and there'll be some other stuff to go on then. Clint Sterner and Jeremy Branham are going to be with you. Wade Smith has some other obligations, so you're going to hear from Clint and JB right here on Sports Radio 610. Shout out to all the loopholes for your contributions today. Thank you very much to Figgy and to Bridget, who is shadowing Figgy today on the other side of the glass. For Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he does, for the OG John Lopez, I'm Landry Locker. Clint and JB are next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.